talk a lot about transformation and faith traditions, that our lives are to be transformed. We don't talk a lot about what it is or what it means, but at the heart of every single faith tradition is the promise of transformation. Every single faith tradition talks about transformation, that our lives are to be transformed. We talk about it a lot. We don't define it often or know what the result of the transformation is to be. So I thought we'd focus on that this week. So transformation can be defined as a complete change in the appearance or character of something or someone, especially when it comes to improvement. So transformation that takes place is to be a change towards something better, healthier. That's transformation. So it's really about change, and I said that last week. Transformation is another word for change. It's a movement towards something, becoming something different than the current reality. And believe it or not, transformation is the nature of the universe and everything in it, including us. We're always changing. We're always being transformed. So as we move into this new church year and activities ramp up, as we just heard, for the next few weeks, we'll be exploring this idea of new beginnings, beginning again, change. And who of us doesn't once in a while desire something new or something to change in our lives? However, there's a big difference between wanting something to change and actually doing something about it, actually nurturing change in our lives. Last week, as I said, change is about transformation. They're the same, they're interchangeable, and we talked a lot about it in the church. But here's a tip about transformation. It's not magic. You know, we think transformation happens overnight. It never does. Rarely does it, unless it's something not so good. But it's not an overnight change. Transformation isn't about anything that happens overnight. And it can take many forms, sometimes bad, hopefully good. But in the Christian tradition, this is what we talk about when we're talking about transformation. We're talking about becoming more and more like Jesus. That's the transformation we're talking about, becoming more like Jesus. So I chose the story of the prodigal son or the lost son from the Gospel of Luke to illustrate this idea of transformation or change. A son demands from his father his share of the family inheritance, and the father reluctantly gives it to him because giving the inheritance to your children before you die is almost like a slap in the face to the father. And secondly, it's always based on land, so the father will probably have to sell land to give the son his inheritance. You never get that land back. So they've lost part of what they have in the family. And the young man selfishly kind of slaps his dad in the face and says, "I don't care. I don't care about your land. I really don't care about you." That's what he's saying. "Give me the land. I'll sell it. I'll take the money and go off," which is what the father has to do. The young man, money in hand, goes off to spend that money in leisure and pleasure. Very selfish desires. And what a blast, he thinks, as he heads off to another country and freely spends his money on whatever pleasures he desires. Scripture tells us. Living the good life, so it would seem. And he's gone from now the second son in a family, so he would never have inherited as much as his older brother, second son in the family, to the master of his own life. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But he hasn't changed. Nothing in him has changed. He is still selfish and spending everything he has on himself. He lives for material things and the pursuit of pleasure. That's what he wanted in the first place. He hasn't changed. He didn't have to work for it all his life, and he uses others to get what he wants. He pays them for it. No need to be any different than he always was. He continued to live the life he envisioned he would live with all this money until the good life stopped short with the draining of his bank account. And then he had nothing. doesn't matter how much you want at that point. He's out in the fields feeding pigs. That's what he's doing. He has nothing. Change almost always happens when life as we're living it becomes too uncomfortable to carry on the way we are. Change happens when our lives become too uncomfortable. There are some exceptions, of course. Some people figure this out that they need to change long before they have to. Where the path they're on, they know are going to lead to some unpleasant consequences, and they don't want those consequences down the road. So they decide they need to do something about it now to avoid the consequences later. I wish I was one of those people. Wise people do this. They see now the road they're going is not going to lead to anything good. The rest of us laggards have to discover the hard way that change is necessary, and if we are to live whole and healthy lives, we have to do something different. And that's where the son finds himself at this point and where his transformation starts to take place. The story tells us that in that field, feeding those pigs, wishing he were home, wishing he could just eat the pods that the pigs are eating, the story tells us he came to himself. He came to himself. He came to understand that something in his life needed to change. So he makes the decision to go back home, to humble himself. This is the beginning of the change. To recognize you need change and to humble yourself enough to decide that you can do it. That's what happened to him. From a selfish, materialistic young man, he humbled himself. He made the decision to go back home and get down on his knees before his father and say, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I want to be here with you. And if you choose to treat me as your servant, that's okay. That's all I deserve, he says. It's hard to admit that we need to change, that we've made some bad decisions or are living in ways that are not altogether healthy for us. They're not going to lead to anything good in our lives. True transformation starts in this place by admitting to ourselves that we have something in our lives that is hindering our wholeness and well-being. It's preventing us from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus spoke about. What is preventing us? What is preventing you and me from living our best lives? That deep down tenacious habit or way of thinking or self-sabotaging behavior that limits life for us. That limits our lives. I can think of a few in my life. Perhaps you can too. How do we change? How are we transformed? How can we move towards health and wholeness? Well, I want to say the first thing is, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. It doesn't happen overnight usually. It requires a lot of work and a lot of hard work sometimes, which is probably why most of us don't make the necessary adjustments to our lives to make the change possible. I just read this week that humans do not so much function according to right and wrong. Our brains don't think right and wrong necessarily. They respond more to comfort and discomfort. We're more attuned to comfort and discomfort. We know this is true because we continue to justify continuing to do unhealthy things, the wrong things, even when we know they're bad and perhaps very bad for us. We continue to do the things that aren't good for us because to change would be uncomfortable and difficult, and we're not usually willing to endure the discomfort. So we don't change. But as I just said, the nature of transformation is not magic. God isn't going to say, you're changing and you're changing, you're changing. I'll give you what you need. I'll give you what you want. You'll change overnight. It's not magic. How does a non-musician become a musician? Practice. For how long? Pardon? Yes. Years and years and years. How does a non-athlete become good at sports? Effort, commitment, practice over and over and over and over and over again. How does an addict get off substances or unhealthy behaviors? A lot of work, helping others. But even addicts today who've been clean for 30 years still know they have the potential to be addicts. Still are in some areas. How does a person lose weight? Discipline over and over and over and every day doing the same thing for a long, long time. How does a student get a diploma? Study, work for years, right? Karen said 10,000 hours. That comes from Malcolm Gladwell. He did a study that if anybody wanted to become good or change, do anything, it took 10,000 hours of working at it. Being proficient, being great, takes a lot more, right? But these are all examples of transformation. It's not an overnight thing. It takes time and major effort to move from one place to another in our lives. Do you know why humans cannot change quickly? We can't. We don't. What would happen if you went to bed with your partner or, you know, met your friend the next day and they had changed everything about themselves because they could overnight? Do you know what would happen? No relationship. Because you don't have anything to base, nobody's predictable. You don't have anything to base a relationship on if they can change that quickly. Humans do not change quickly because it would create chaos in the world. We can't change quickly because if we did, it would be bad. It takes a lifetime to change. Things do happen suddenly, but that's not the kind of transformation we're looking for. The kind of change we desire that makes us better for ourselves and for the world takes a lifetime, and it takes effort and it takes discomfort. Okay, here's a statement if you don't remember anything else. Comfort is the enemy of transformation. Comfort is the enemy of transformation. Yuck. If we want to be comfortable, we likely won't change. And for that reason alone, because of the discomfort, we give up on transformation before anything takes place. Because it's hard. So I'm just going to give you a few tips for making your desire a reality. Think about what you really want. Where is it in your life that you need something to change, some kind of transformation? Then write it down. Even better, share it with some others so they know what you're working on as well. And make sure the change that you want is worthwhile. That is going to take time and effort to change it, and discomfort if you want it to change. For example, spending less time on our screens is maybe a good thing, but you can't just spend less time on your screens and go to some other unworthy endeavor. You have to have a reason. You have to have a purpose for your transformation, and that may be, I want to build better relationships, therefore I can't spend as much time on my screens. I want to go get out for walks or exercise. I want to do something worthy in my life, for my life. That means I need to spend less time on my screens. I need to do this. I need to do this. Decide what's worthwhile and will take time. That's the first thing. Secondly, I want to say, once you've made that decision, once you've written that down, pray, meditate, spend some quality silent time with God or presence or whatever you call God, because this is where you can get the courage and strength and inspiration each day to follow through on it. Spend some good quality time with yourself, with God. And this is the source of transforming power or energy, because it's key. We need help, and God is our help. Spend some quiet time. Then make a plan. How are you going to concretely achieve what you want? Write your plan down and read it daily. Adjust it regularly. It's a living document, and it can change and tweak as needed. This is another good one. If you really want to change, find somebody to be an accountability partner so you can check in with them regularly, ask them to help you, and ask how you can help them. But find somebody who will do it with you, possibly. And I can't emphasize this enough because I've already said it. Get used to discomfort. Discomfort is simply an indication that you are changing, doing something you're not used to doing. Get used to it. It's a good thing. We default to comfort to make us feel better in the moment, but it hinders our change. Embrace discomfort, because when it comes to transformation, discomfort is your friend. Believe it or not. And finally, what I want to say is don't give up. There are going to be hiccups along the way, and you may take a break for a while, but get back at it again and again and again. Some things take many attempts before we change routines and behaviors. They do. Know it's just going to take time, and be okay with that. God has not only given us the desire for transformation, but given us all the tools we need to achieve it. We are, the Bible tells us, to grow into ourselves our entire lifetimes. We have it within us to change. It's the nature of the world. It's not about the motivation out there. Don't look for motivation outside of yourself. It's about what's in us. Don't depend on others for your transformation. You can ask for help, and that's important, but it's not up to anybody else to make you change. And we can't blame anybody else when we don't change. It's not up to them. The change the prodigal son needed was entirely in those moments up to him, and the choice he made to do something different. It's in that moment that the change began. Change requires risk. There is no such thing in this world as security. No such thing. We often seek comfort because it makes us feel safe. But we live in a world that is uncertain. Life has taught us that. We are made to change. Seeking comfort, then, is an illusion. There is no such thing. So why not step into the unknown? It's the only way we can grow and change. Don't wait until the thing. Which do you think is more fun? Sitting in our comfort or growing, changing? Absolutely. Unpredictable, but certainly more fun. Jesus chose risk, uncertainty, and change, knowing that his center was grounded in God and that God never changes. Therefore, he could go out and do anything, and God would always be his grounding. God who never changes. Because of that, he could risk everything. And so can we. Let's take a moment to think about that.